Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? Devin Tilley here, and it is a beautiful, sunny Friday here in sunny Colorado, where we just skipped winter this year, and we're going right into construction season, and we're going to have as much fun as possible today with our buddy Chad and talking about how his story that led him to FH Construction. And I'm so jazzed for this conversation because I am the leader of the Art of Construction, Mike, but I get to take this global megaphone and share and weave these different stories together through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And I'm in studio, eyeball to eyeball, just met Chad 5 minutes ago in person for the first time, but boy, we had some cool pre-interviews, and we're going to set the stage here of how we got here. And the main message is that we're going to be talking about today is focusing on fit and recruiting from fit. And the subtitle is all about hustle, right? And accountability and getting that put together. And how do we hire and retain the right people to set this stuff up? And how does this benefit you is that I'm sitting here as a 46-year-old digital immigrant sitting between two very different types of people. My mentors that got me here that are analog first and they're going to stay there to the end. And the other side of this thing are the digital natives that are reverse mentoring and really challenging us, whether shout out to Crystal and her Johnny 5 AI assistant pushing her or the other side of the fence trying to buy out my business partners from owning this piece of real estate because they need to step back. Figuring this out is hard, right? And so we're going to talk about those two foundation of what we work on, the Art of Construction, is blending on-site and off-site construction and getting the right health and shelter in our mindset and our lives as the foundation. And so on the pre-interview, Chad was talking about the dichotomy of being in the CEO boardroom and then going to the job site and meeting up with the trades. And they work with, you know, he's been in high-end hospitals and different organizations of like really how to separate working on the business and working in the business or in construction of that kind of church and state, which is just a really challenging thing in figuring out how to drive efficiencies. So me as this 46-year-old digital immigrant, Chad is a little bit behind me at 39. Shout out to L, his business ops specialist, who the digital natives reached out to me through LinkedIn and did a great job. But then the key part of this whole conversation that you need to hear is that L said, can we have a quick phone call? Because Chad, as my leader, wants to get on your podcast because I did the research. He said, find the right podcast for me to be on and share our story. But what she did really well is she didn't just keep it in digital part. I put my phone number in there because I was driving and I need to be safe and not just doing social media stuff. She called me. I put my cell phone in there. She called me instantly. Then I said, send me an email, I'll get the net. 3 weeks later, we're doing the pre-interview. So we have to be moving fast to put this stuff together. So great job, Elle. And Crystal, who's working to set the stage, I was running a little bit late this morning and had a bunch of stuff from our leadership meeting, and I was doing all this. I walk in, and I was all stressed to get the podcast studio set up, and I walk in, and it was all done. Chad. How cool are we here to be sitting here having this conversation as leaders, but getting our teams to row in the same direction? And that's what we're all trying to figure out, right? So I'm super excited to learn your story through the Art of Construction lens. What do you say? Let's have as much fun as possible, get to know you and what FH is all about, and maybe give some guiding light to the digital immigrants in the middle like you and I figuring this gooey middle out, huh? Absolutely. All right, let's go. Chad, what's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage, still probably a margarita. I'm still a margarita
nice.
Guy. Yeah.
Is there any certain thing that when you're like, ooh, that makes a margarita or that is just way off? Like,
what's you know, I think it's, I mean, it's honestly the, it's how much tequila's in it. That's really what it is. It's like the difference between that's the difference between a good margarita and a bad margarita. It's like, you know, if it's too sweet and not enough tequila. So I think that's really it.
That's so funny. As you learn how to be a professional partier, I think back in my college, and there's this guy's like, you know, forget all this. Like, if we're gonna really drink well, we can't be putting all this sugar and all this junk in there. It's like the best tequila and just some lime. Yep. And that's the best margarita. Yeah.
That's it. It's not that complicated. Very simple. Very simple.
Awesome. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
You know, I haven't traveled a whole lot. The place that I've gone to most recently that probably had the most impact on me was my mom and I went to Portugal late last year. I went to Lisbon and Porto for about a week, and it was just her and I, and that was probably one of the best trips that I've had. It was a lot of fun. So
awesome. Give us one story from that.
Man, there was a lot of stories from that. I think the most interesting thing about that was, like, you know, my mom and I, obviously I've known, I mean, my mom has been my best friend for forever. And I think that the best part about that trip was we really just got to connect and really kind of understand each other better as just friends, rather than like us just being a mom-son relationship. And it also is like, I have a daughter now that's three, and I've seen, you know, my mom kind of in a different light with my daughter now, which has been really, really interesting. And it's just made me realize like how I have benefited and like how thankful I am to have someone who's like just so incredibly caring, because I now feel, I know exactly how she feels now having my daughter. So it was just a fun time to just be able to just really kind of enjoy being with each other, and kind of, there was nothing else there, right? It was just like, it was just us and Portugal, and that's kind of what we just had a lot of really nice conversations.
What a way to kick this thing off, because I think there's so much negative when we say analog and they're not going to move to a digital place. I question, should they? They should do what your mom just did, is reverse mentoring you how to be a better person and being better friends. What a cool story. But construction is messy, right? And our tagline of the MFers in construction, the master facilitators building better buildings, the story I want to kick this thing off with is, we all got to take these golden nuggets from when you get to build a partnership and a relationship, whether it's 2 minutes on a screen or your whole life with your mom, is you got to take these nuggets that align with your tribe within the art of construction. And my favorite thing when I was doing all the research of to share Chad and FH's story was where we're building a new website. And we've really struggled with this, getting the right quote-unquote headshot through AI to understand this business front. But more importantly, what does it make that person in that business and that really tick as a partner to build teams within a team within the art of construction? And we'll put links in the show notes. But my favorite thing of going through your guys' website was, it was that business in the front, party in the rear, you know, less sweet on the margarita, more just get to the point type stuff. And on that picture, and when you click on it, it flips around, and it was like their family, their fishing of what makes that person tick. And I think that was really the impetus of Chad Harris and Devin really putting this thing together of like, what makes the fit work for them personally first, to then tie the business together. Because the old comment, when you hit don't take this personal, it's just business, from the MFers, that's a different type of MFer that we think of in the master facilitator community, right? So what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down today that we passionately call the art of construction?
Great question. I like to golf. I love anything sports, really. So I'm starting to think that I can be a golfer. I'm not a good golfer, but I think I'm going to get better. And then anything that has to do with anything sports, love going to games. I was born in Denver, so like love all the Denver sports teams. Broncos broke my heart this year. I think
we thought we were going to get a trifecta. What are we going to get?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's like of the three teams, it's like Broncos, Avalanche, Nuggets.
Well, I heard Chad Harris. I was like, which Chad Harris am I interviewing at the very beginning?
Yeah,
Bronco.
Yeah. So, but yeah, anything sports, golf, and just kind of, you know, spending time with family, friends. So
love that. Well, is Elle a golfer?
Elle, I do not believe is a golfer, but she was played basketball in college.
Reason I ask the question is because whatever your L listening this around the globe and whatever your owner operator is, the my goal is someday to get FH Construction is to come play Wanch Golf.
We'll
leave Wanch Golf to where it's going to be. We're going to leave it there.
Okay.
And you're going to have to come do the research to understand what Wanch Golf is, because Crystal, my L, her final interview was playing Wanch Golf, and I asked her, are you a golfer? And she said, I would like to be. And she became a leader of the tribe from playing Wanch Golf.
Okay.
So we'll leave it at that, but let's start all the way back to the beginning of Chad. What is your story that led you to being the partner and co-founder at FH Construction Group?
I've really loved building my entire life. Like, I was a big Lego kid, always with my dad, was always trying to find something to build. I'd say that what really led me into construction was really design. I've always really loved architecture. I've always loved the way that like buildings make people feel. But I was a really bad architect. I just didn't really have like a very creative bone in my body, I don't think. And I still remember, like, I had a professor in college when I was taking kind of some gen ed courses with drafting, and probably some of the best advice he gave me was like, you just don't want to do this. You know, you're just not that good at it. You know, you're really not that great at on the design side. And he was right. So I went kind of to the next best thing, which was construction. So leaned in construction. The engineering degree part of it was also not that easy for me. I wasn't the best at math up to that point, but really worked at it to get through a construction management degree. And then I really fell in love with construction with my first internships. Mm. So which also came from most of my story is about people really just kind of taking a shot on me, to be honest with you. And my dad, I was a freshman in college. I hadn't taken any construction courses yet. And my dad was sitting next to someone on a plane that was a vice president at a huge construction company. And they just chatted. And my dad got off the plane and he called me and was like, this guy's going to give you an internship. Just like send him an email. And I was like, okay, like, why would this guy give me an internship, right? And I did. I sent him an email. They interviewed me like probably the same week, and they flew me out to Milwaukee for my first internship, and that's really what started my love with construction. So,
oh man, I love that. So the hustle of your dad passionately for you, but then you taking action, and that's how most construction relationships really start, right?
Yeah, I think my dad also really wanted me out of the house in the summer. You know, like he was like,
well,
it's a win-win. You know, how do we get Chad a job and out of the house in the summer? So win-win for everybody.
Love it, man. Well, on our pre-interviews and getting to know each other digitally first before we meet up in person, is you told me a story about communicating on the job site. Can you talk through that? Of like, you used that a really good way of using the specific story about having these aha moments to blend how we got here from the past, sitting here today, and how you and I can be better leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I think I say this a lot, where like I kind of sit in between two probably generations of construction, two kind of thought processes on construction. And I still remember that same internship that I had. My first week was interesting. My first week I was in a new place. I'm from here. I drove to Milwaukee. In my first week, I remember like the first like 3 or 4 days, I just didn't, like, no one really talked to me. It was, you know, it was a big job, huge project. Everybody was under the gun, right? I mean, it was a large healthcare project. It was my first internship. And I remember like 3 or 4 days in being like, I feel like I should be doing something, right? And there was a superintendent that was, you know, who's under the gun, you know, was always kind of on the go, that was sitting kind of in a cube next to me. And I remember going to him and just being like, hey, am I like supposed to be doing something? Like, is somebody going to tell me what I should be doing? Should I, what do I do here? And he said to me, and I'll never forget this. He said, well, what you need to do is you need to show up at 6 and you need to work really, really hard, ask no questions, and leave at 6. That was like his whole thought process. Was like, you know, you show up, you don't speak, you do as you're told, you don't think, you don't ask questions, and then, you know, 3 months later, you will send you home, you know, from your internship. And I really remember that. It was striking to me, mainly because I was like, well, so that basically means that you feel like you have all the answers, but I have to work really, really hard to get those answers out of you, right? Like, so like it has to be a privilege for me to be able to learn anything here. And I also will fast forward and say, like, that person also was one of my biggest advocates on the job as like towards the end of it. But I think, you know, and I did actually have a conversation with him on like, what is that? Like, why is that the mindset, right? And it was because that's how he was taught, right? Mm-hmm. He was taught that you show up and you work really, really hard, and hopefully somebody eventually will kind of notice you and will take you under their wing and teach you things, and then maybe you can be in the position that I'm in, right? And I think that is just, it's so backwards compared to what I think the industry needs today. And I think the industry has changed a lot, but it could definitely change more compared to where we are today.
Totally agree. And just tools like podcasting, where I was one of the OGs of like, wow, this is a great way to do the very thing you just said, instead of just, you know, the whole cut your teeth on the job site and maybe 10 years from now you can have a chance to talk with me and 30 years from now you can have my job. But by the time you get there, you're worn out and you're crusty and you're tired.
Yeah.
And so like moving construction forward is really hard that way, of the phone tag way of just watching and then doing it from that person, and the whole train the trainer thing. There's a lot of tools out there now that we can do that differently, right? And so that's where I think it's kind of our job. And on this intro, I really am using this digital immigrant terminology. And shout out to Scott Hicken, who has edited 50 of my podcasts. And him and I had a lot of conversations around that, where he was a DJ on the side and did all this digital stuff first, and learning from each other. But it all boils down to right person, right seat, and fit, right? Yep. And so you can have all the hustle in the world, but day to day, we have a window and door company. If you have zero interest in windows and doors, it's really hard to put a career passion in about windows and doors.
Yeah.
So you have to reframe the hustle and the fit to say, what do we actually do? Whether it's commercial tenant finish or windows and doors, it's, are you passionate about the art of construction, is what we're trying to lead on this global megaphone. So let's unpack a little bit here about, you know, how did FH come to be from your very beginning of the story? And I love how you say, you know, I shut up and I listened and I didn't burn the bridge. Fast forward, where this was a mentor and we had that open and honest conversation, if I heard you right.
Yeah.
And so you're building these bridges, which can be hard to do in construction. But how did the name FH come to be, and how did you get this, and what kind of company, what's the structure like?
Yeah. FH came to be, I think if we would like, we actually did this recently. My co-founder Anthony, his name is Anthony Fasciano. So he's the F, and my name is Chad Harris. I am the H. So not very creative, I would say. We had like, we went back through our notes, our OneNote recently, and like went through like the thousands of names that we tried to come up with, and we went with the easiest one on the face of the planet. But that's really how it came to be, the name. I think the starting point to that was really just kind of a little bit of a curiosity of, could we start something and back to your point, where we could find the right people that fit with kind of our thought process. And that thought process, I don't think isn't, you know, too terribly different than a lot of other people's, but it was building something where I really felt like people could be proud of who they were at the construction company. And that was something that was really, really important to both of us. And something that I've always kind of really leaned into in construction, which is, you know, I don't specifically in the state of Colorado, I don't look like a lot of, you know, people in this market. And I've always been really aware of that. And I also have always been very, I'd say like uncompromising on who I thought I was, who I wanted to be. And regardless of the fact that maybe I didn't fit like the typical construction, mold, that I felt like I really kind of had a lot to bring to the table.
Good for you. And thanks for saying that. That's super cool.
Yeah. And you know, but I also think there's a lot of people that are like that.
Totally.
Right. And I've had the benefit to, recruit most of my career, and there's a great number of people who were just looking for a shot. Right. And all of those people kind of felt the same way. And I was like, you know, we could build something around that. So that's really kind of how FH came to be, is we both had a passion for people. But we had a passion for people to kind of come as they are, whoever they are, and contribute in a way that I think the industry needs, but it doesn't have to look like whatever this box might be that they tell you in school that it really needs to look like. So, and I think that I really do think that in general, like the newer generation is really teaching us more than we're teaching them about authenticity and truly being passionate about the industry as a whole rather than just the way that we told them that the industry had to be.
That's a fascinating concept that, if I heard you right, you're saying the reverse mentorships are teaching us much more about humility and, you know, empathy. That, I think us digital immigrants think you say the word digital and you think they're just behind their screen and Facebook has them so screwed up they don't know what to do. And our parents are the ones that really teach people to have a heart. But yet in construction, it's kind of been a little bit opposite of like the school of hard knocks is, you know, you if you go into construction, it's very, when you go onto a job site and you're the one cleaning up the job site and learning to see how it actually works is pretty frightening to how it kicks off, right?
It is. It's an extremely intimidating business to come into if you don't know anything, right? Yeah. Like, and I think it's, but I think it's also one of the most inclusive businesses once you're there. I really do. I mean, I think that like I was a laborer for multiple summers. Again, my dad trying to get me out of the house, right? When I was like kind of like late high school and early college. And the camaraderie that you have with people when you're, you know, throwing concrete forms and it's 100 degrees outside, everybody's doing the same thing. Everybody's kind of moving towards the same goal, right? And I think that that's...
Well, and it's so rewarding. Like, I've never been able to go to like a CrossFit gym or whatever, but like golf is my passion. And how do you get yourself right? Of like, you can get in pretty good shape on the construction job site if you're really taking care of your mental health and paying attention to the safety meetings instead of just checking the box, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I also think that like the opposite can be true, right? You know, and I think the really good companies, I've had such a awesome opportunity to work for really, really good companies and really great leaders, that those leaders, for the most part, were always people who were people first leaders. And they had a lot of empathy for people and kind of what they were going through, not just on the job site, but outside of the job site. Right. And I think that's also incredibly important, going back to what you just said about like the mental health piece, because everyone shows up to work but no one really knows what's happening to those people outside of that.
Totally.
And that's a, I think that's a huge portion of like of the fit, the overall fit conversation.
Yeah, we just put the picture of what you're supposed to be on the job site, not what they actually are.
For sure. Yeah.
And that's kind of going back to that flipping the mentality of like, it's okay to be vulnerable. And we're going to make a much better project at the end of the day, which is what I think what, when you catch the bug, for me, it's like, it's so cool to see the structures come to life. That's the reward of all this hard work, right? I'm curious, I want you to go, we're really big. And as we work towards, you know, unpacking more to understand where FH can share its story in the art of construction and then close this out of giving nuggets to help them grow their business. What tools are key for FH, and what tools are really fluff as you and I, as these digital immigrants trying to figure this out, of just figure it out on the job site versus the digital model tells you everything what's supposed to happen on the job site?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I also think that like there's every week now we're getting calls about some like newfangled, you know, fantastic construction software that's going to change everything. I think that anything that's not allowing you to communicate more efficiently is fluff. So, I mean, I think most of the things that we're dealing with that we do today on the tool side are all ways to communicate more clearly and quicker. Someone the other day told me, we were in a meeting and they were like, construction is one of the only industries that still has four generations of people. So four generations of workers that are in construction who all communicate differently. You know, what you just said about the Facebook thing, you know, the way like our parents potentially communicate on Facebook, our parents, then my business partner, he is the youngest person I think on Facebook. He loves Facebook, but between like the, that generation and then like, you know, the new generation that's coming in who really hasn't communicated on a phone. I mean, they use a phone to communicate, but very differently with Snapchat and, you know, all these different things.
Which is back to the beginning when Elle called me right away. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Sweet. Shocking. Yeah. Yeah. That is shocking to me. Good for her. So I think the tools that we are most focused on today is like, how can we paint a picture for communication a lot faster, and more precisely, to be able to really stay in the field. And I think that that's the one thing that we focus on a lot, is how can we make sure that the people who come, who are working for us, they came here to build. They didn't come here to sit behind a computer screen, you know, all day. So I think the tools that we're focused on using today really are more to get people out of their seat and give them the information to contribute more to truly like what drives a project, which is like execution.
Very well said. I do have to give one plug to our official AI partner of Art of Construction, Humming Agent AI, and episode 383, AI in Small Business. It's been very transformative. Yesterday was my quarterly focus day. If you go back, we really adopted the entrepreneurial operating system in our business. And yesterday we went into it and introduced, and I did a whole presentation through Sean Kircher and the team where we're going to be releasing and doing all kinds of stuff around a builder's roundtable. That's what I'm going to authentically pitch Tony about as a leader in this industry, to go play Wanch Golf with Sean and put all this stuff together. But you first got to meet the people, the businesses, and the municipalities where they are. And that's why AI is so great if you're tying it into those three things of back to communication, right? And so yesterday was the first time, I've been doing these quarterly meetings for 10 years, and yesterday was the first time with a really practical purpose. We went into that and we recorded the whole meeting with a presentation in the middle about AI. And at the end, I just said, give the notes back to my leadership team. If you're not paying attention and using those tools, you are going to be so left in the dust. Because I like how you said the joke of, you know, your business partner's probably the youngest using Facebook, because I think we've put people into brackets of only this person does Slack, and only this person does Facebook, and only this person does Builder Trend, of these different SaaS and models that are really kind of broken. It's, well, I think several generations may like or hate Facebook because it's used everywhere. Yep. You have to figure out how to, what threads, just like you can't just be Ford or Chevy or just Microsoft or Google, right? You have to be different things. But AI, I'm anxious, but in the gooey middle of this thing, I challenge you to get involved of saying, well, you can't do all this stuff yourself. Just keep communicating to be a better business owner, but get the right help is what I'm getting at here. So I love you when you say the tools that are key are to help us better communicate throughout all of the different parts.
I think I wonder what your thought process on, like, where AI is, you know, I think of AI a lot now. We use it all the time, right? And it kind of reminds me of, like, BIM. I remember when, like, BIM came out, everybody was just like, BIM, 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 right? Now, AI is going to obviously be, is going to take things in a lot of different directions. But what's your real thought process on where it's going to take?
It's knowing and understanding your data, right? So you say the word BIM, it's just like I say the word modular back to you.
Yeah.
What do those things mean? Well, we call it system-built construction. You'd say, what does that mean? I say Wanch Golf, W-A-N-C-H. You say, what does that mean? None of it really matters until you get communication and bought into the building, the information, and modeling that. Modular, volumetric, system-built. It's blending the off-site and the on-site tools. And when I started saying this stuff, when I launched this podcast in 2012, I was interviewing a lot of early adopters like me. And as a business owner, you said, we're getting inundated by just getting sold on how our lives are going to be easier. That's not how you make your life easier. For example, how do you use AI? Well, shout out to Sean again and Humming Agent AI. We just tweaked and rebuilt the whole Art of Construction website in a couple days that I just used the tool. When you say, what is BIM? I look and say, 29 of the 389 episodes are talked about BIM. But BIM is not just a catch-all word. It's integrating of building connections for construction. These are titles of podcasts I've did around this. Episode 368. Demystifying EPCM, an integrated approach to construction. Embrace the power of prefab construction. Martian solutions to building better homes on Earth. Bridging architecture and AI. Overcoming struggles in technology and adoption. We could talk all day long about that, but it's back to your tribe within the tribe, right? So that's my take of AI is you better slow way down to move fast. And you better get your own large language model. You better get your own intellectual property. You better get your tents to where your set of data is understood and followed by all within your organization.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now. There's no silver bullet that's just going to hit a button and AI, fix my business.
Yeah.
AI, hire the right people. That's not what AI does. What AI does is help the people be better people.
For sure. I think it's going to, I mean, realistically, I think it's going to push. I've seen it work in two different ways, right? I've seen the adoption of those tools and people taking the information to communicate faster and better, right? Yep. And I've also seen it where, like, you take that information and people just regurgitate that information that may not even be correct, they're not really focused on how that information is going to help them drive better solutions and results, right? And so I think going back to that is, it's a great tool that is going to be it's incredibly transformative, right? But it's also like, how are we using that tool to better our businesses, better the industry, better communicate. Yeah. And I think that's going to be
really
interesting.
Here's the deal of hundreds of podcasts. It all boils down to this. You can't automate a shitty process.
You cannot.
And construction is a shitty process that we're trying to automate. And
all
these people are trying to come in and tell us, use my tool to automate your process. And we say, do you know what what is this pain? What is the solution to this tool? And most people have built these SaaS shitty stackable models that they've spent all this money through VC money that they're now trying to sell something and looking for a solution to their problem.
Yep.
Well, you first have to solve the problem.
Agreed.
And so that's where we're at of you can't automate a shitty process. So with that being said, as we sit here recording this to where I've been doing a lot of research and we got a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pike with Art of Construction around how to automate a kick-ass process, but we're doing it from the human approach and like sitting around the table and talking through that. But it can be super overwhelming. Of yesterday from the leadership, we recorded 8 hours and it spit it out and blew my mind, but someone still has to read and script the AI to the AI. Like, you can't AI the AI. No. But the other part is right now is the easiest time to get involved in it because it's just going to get more and more complex. These large language models are getting super, they're so far in front of us, you can't keep up. So I think we just have to slow down and say, what is the right approach and what is the process at FH as it sits here today with you and I as leaders to lead our businesses within the Art of Construction?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we're a construction company, right? So we have to we're judged by what we produce and what we execute at the end
totally
of the day.
Totally agree.
So that starts with what you just said, with good field leadership, good people who really truly understand how to build. We want to be extremely transparent. Like, I think our goal has always been to be transparent with our own team, no secrets there, with our trade partners, with our and with our owners, so everybody has access to the same information, and so everybody can make this the right decision for them. Right, going back to that is really just being more cost certain. Like when we say we can provide X for something, we want to be able to always be able to do that, barring anything. Anything crazy, right? Anything that's like a big change or anything that we that an owner may want, we want to be able to say we started here and we finished here at the same time. And a lot of that goes back to honestly just really, really good pre-planning. And then I've always said like what's really important is to have some great wins, milestone wins as you go along on the project, because the projects are long. The days are long. The people who are working on those projects are, it's hard work. So really creating, a lot of shared wins for the team as you go along through the project is, I think, what really makes a huge impact on not only your team, your trade partner teams, but like at the end, you can all be proud of something that you put in place.
Totally. And as looking at your website, the type of projects you're doing are these big infrastructure. It's really construction. The mindset is you're only as good as your last project to get the next project.
Yep.
And that's the dog eat dog world of they hold that over your head. So you have to get cost certainty to begin with the end in mind, you have to really have approaches to have the right partnerships, right? And that's hard to do, in especially in today's world where it's really hard to quote unquote pencil projects when you're only as good as your last one to keep cost certainty moving forward for you to pay your bills, have people be able to go do what they want to do outside of that. Right.
Yep.
And so, I love your thing about transparency, but really I think the key thing is that milestones of setting those wins along the way is really important because they are such long business marriages that a lot of times you're halfway through, people are saying about how they want to get divorced, and that's really sticky, right?
Yeah, I think the threat of divorce is just as bad,
right?
Right, and I think that everybody then starts to play a little bit scared, and that's when people start to hold everything really close to the vest, right? Like the trade partners who know that there's going to be a problem. They start to hold that problem close to the vest and kind of continue to kick the can down the road.
Because it's huge cost mistakes.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And I think that like if you can get to a place that's a little bit more transparent overall, then I think that everybody then can they have the confidence to be able to tell people the good and the bad news early enough for everyone to make the right decision down the road. I love that. But it's hard to really, it's hard to get there. It's hard to build that trust. And we've, and there's certain, I think there's certain market sectors that lend better to it. I mean, honestly, a lot of what we do today is really in the healthcare market. And I think that the healthcare market is really, has been at the forefront of that trying to create those trust and transparent relationships because of how disruptive those changes can really be.
Right.
So
and how specific the healthcare industry needs to be to weave all this stuff together. Right?
Correct. Yeah. 100%.
So on your website, you have a part that says what sets us apart. And if you can just give us those bullet points quickly as we work towards closing this thing out. To me, they're the quote-unquote obvious ones, but I think we could just spend all day as business leaders just talking about these. And that's really, there is no silver bullet, but these are the things that why I wanted to have you on the podcast and have this conversation of what sets FH Construction apart from the other FHs around the world. Not the MFers around the world.
I think a few of them are obviously I've talked a lot about our people.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the people is what everybody kind of stands behind in their company. And I also think that that's what drives your culture, you know? And I think that that's part of fit. I don't think there's a bad construction company really to go work for. I've worked for a lot of really, really awesome construction companies. But their culture is determined by the people that they have there, right? Yeah. And that's kind of, so that's the fit part of it. The growth that we really focus on at FH is we don't want anyone to be limited by their potential. I've always hated in my career when kind of people have told me to slow down or, you know, you need more time in the saddle or you need more time to do, to be on this project 3 or 4 more times before you can
or move. Put them in a box if you can't let them go. They want to go and you say, no, this is our corporate structures. You have to sit here and do this.
Yeah, you have to be here for another 5 years. Right. And we don't do that. So I think like giving people the opportunity to have unlimited growth potential. And we've seen that now. So we've seen people who we've had a problem, and they have gone out of their way, to go and fix it. And that wasn't part of their day-to-day job description. Right. So, I mean, I think that that's been really, really fun to see. I think one of the things that people always ask me is the unconventional one. I think the unconventional one is to me a value that I want people to be exactly who they are every single day, and come to the table with different solutions. Like I think Anthony always says, don't judge me for, my bad ideas, judge me for my good ones. What that really means to me is like, let's just keep trying stuff. Keep trying it and figuring it out.
Yeah,
so
love that.
Those are the things that I think really will drive our success.
Cool stuff, man. Well, as this is for builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
I think it's connectivity. And I think that's probably the, if we can figure that out, I think, and everybody's trying to figure that out. How do we connect all of our systems together? How do we connect the schedule to the quality, to the cost, and get everyone on the same page with communicating from design all the way through completion? And that's been something that's so difficult to do in construction.
In the past, it was basically impossible because of, we started with BIM and then it became digital octuplets because one for the attorney, one for the architect,
correct,
one for the builder, one for the offsite, one for the window guy, one for the tenant finish guy, one for the door guy, one for the one. I have a solution for you. It's called the art of construction. It's taking the artist and the digital builders and the physical builders and put them together. And we call that the art of construction master facilitator community. And selfish plug for you to say, shout out to Elle who got you and I here, that now we know you have a little bit more of what, when I say AOC, most people think of something other than AOC, but you now know that connection part, right? And I totally believe and I've been at this, that, you know, since 2012 on this podcast and running a window and door business, putting this stuff together is really, really hard. But you know what? If you don't start doing it now, you're going to be left in the dust, because there's computational power and large language models to do that. And if you don't know the word agentic with AI, you better go figure that out. Because that's what we're really talking about. The agentic is taking your people and your model to tie that into the art of construction. And that's what we're doing with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. With that being said, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates in and out of the Art of Construction threads to think about, to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Yeah, I think I still think that this is one of the coolest industries that's out there. I think I have the benefit every single day of learning from, whether it's from, you know, somebody who is really, really incredible at, you know, pouring concrete, or somebody who is in a boardroom who operates a large healthcare facility. Every single day I learn something new from someone different, and I think we have to get people to want to stay in the industry, because it is so incredible. And to do that, I think we as leaders have to get better at doing the things that they would want to stay there for.
Totally.
Which is really, I think, a lot of ways just allowing people to find the way that they fit with the company better, rather than consistently trying to drive. It's really people who... I think it's really people who build buildings, not companies. So how do we keep those people in the industry? It's by focusing on them rather than the company first.
Totally agree. And we'll end it with this, of get around the Builders Roundtable. Art of Construction has the Master Facilitators community for that, for leaders in different groups, wherever you sit. Or I think about Brent Wall, who we just recorded his podcast, and they're all coming out in these global and timeless fireside chats. Brent, he goes, "Oh, Devin, I'm going to use that when you said, dang, Brent, you're making foundations sexy again." And he's like, "Whoa, foundations are sexy." I was like, "Yeah, the way you're doing it prefab, and it's now just this connected kit of parts to people who can build better buildings and blend on-site and off-site construction, I commend you for taking your 25 years of working in unions and big commercial stuff and putting that together to solve a problem. Those are the connected kit of parts that we really need to put together." And I totally agree with everything that you said around that, of like, construction is such a badass industry that's got such a bad rap right now. But with all of these new tools, man, you can make it. We can crush it together. So join in and let's go have as much fun as possible. What do you say, Brent?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. We're big fans, and we'll be cheering you on and see where FH goes. And circle back if you're in Colorado. And we'll put all the links to the show notes. If you need healthcare and commercial needs, FH is a great tool for you within the Global Megaphone. Crush it out there, tribe.